is it? Oh, can I remember? Oh, it's Saturday! It's my day off! Now, what was it I was going to do? Oh, I know! I'm going to go down to my swimming club for a swim. Oh, what should I do while I'm down there? I know. Recently when I went down there, I swam a mile. Can I do a mile and a quarter or a mile and a half? Oh, I must get ready. Where are my glasses? Over here, great. Great, great. And have I got my stuff in my bag? Oh, my swimming costume. Oh, there's somebody at the door. Must go and open the door. Hello, Amy. Lovely to see you.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And you?
Oh, good, thanks. What are you planning to do today?
I'm going to go swimming and I want to see if I can beat my personal best swim more than a mile.
Aren't you forgetting something?
Everything's in my bag. What?
God. Isn't it more important to know that Jesus loves you than to just try and do your personal best all the time? Remember what the Bible says about putting your achievements before God.
Oh, so isn't it okay for me to try and beat my swimming record?
Of course it is. But you've got to remember to put God first. And weren't you going to go out to lunch with Anne today and try and invite her to church tomorrow?
Now what's the time? Oh, it's only about 7:30 in the morning. You're very early coming round to see me. I've got time to get ready, get my swimming gear, go for a swim, get home, have my breakfast. Yes, I have still got time to go and see Anne and take her out for lunch and see if she'll come to church tomorrow. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great. Just remember to put God first.
Ah, okay. Thank you for that bit of advice. Right, okay. Even if it's my day off, I must remember to put you first, God. Help me, Father, to remember, even when I'm swimming up and down the swimming pool, that I need to put you first. Thank you to Amy. I'll do my sermon without my shoes on. I'll put them on later. Right, so, over to you, congregation. What has a play on wanting to do one's best in swimming got to do with today's parable of the rich young fool? Hopefully somebody's got an idea. Right, what did the rich young fool want to do? He wanted to...
store lots of grain.
Yeah, so he's doing his... personal best, yeah. So it's a twist on the sermon. So anybody who thought they were going to be listening to a sermon on it's wrong to have money and are worried about that was going to be the sermon, you can forget it because that's not going to be the sermon. Oddly enough, a curate who at my age can be self-supporting clearly must have something behind me to enable me to do that. So I could hardly preach to you something that obviously it would be difficult for me to go and junk all my money. Right. We can see an answer in this to Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul warns about building up one's possession and losing sight of God. He reminds us that we have brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. What is important is to have the essentials of life and otherwise to look to God. What mistake did the rich young fool make in building more barns? Was it in wanting to expand his business? Was that wrong? No. He could have built his barns. Think, how could he have built his barns to the glory of God? Anybody who wasn't at the 9 o'clock service. What else could he have done other than what he did do?
Shared it,
yes. He could have shared it. He could have done it to God's glory. Now, I wonder how many of you at some point of time in your life, and considering I've managed it, I'm sure most of us, have been into the shop on Broad Street called The Entertainer. Has any of you noticed if you go into town on a Sunday, and some of you might think, hang on, I thought that, but when you're in a placement in Tarlhurst and you've got things going on in the afternoon, you soon discover that coming back to Woodley doesn't make sense. And somebody pointed out to me how many years shops have been open on a Sunday. But if you go in on a Sunday, the entertainer will not be open. Many years ago, I went with my brother, took him down to Basingstoke shopping centre. And it's a shopping centre. I know the shops and the Oracle have to open over the hours that the Oracle is open. And there was the entertainer with inside a huge shopping centre closed because I think it was Good Friday. He's taken a decision not to open on Sundays and holy days. Now, why not? The person who owns the entertainer shop is a Gary Grant, who is a charismatic Christian. And he takes the personal decision not to open his shops on a Sunday. But imagine, if he'd chosen to only buy the one shop he purchased in 1981, he would be employing a lot less people. To set your minds on wanting to do your best isn't wrong. What is wrong is if in doing that we forget to focus on God. So if you're at school and want to get the best grades that your ability enables you to, for GCSEs and A-levels, that isn't wrong. And any of you start talking to people who are taking exams this week, bear in mind the results people have got is to the ability God's given them, because we've got a huge number of great results. And we don't just need A-stars for results to be great. B's and C's are still great if that's what God's given you. If you're good at sport and want to improve your best running time, long jump distance, somebody's just been looked at. It's not wrong, by the way. You can. Maybe your grades in dance. Maybe your marks are for diving board. It's not wrong. Now, this is only me surmising. How many of you watched the prelims of the 10-metre diving? Probably not many, because it was basically on the internet. Tom Daly got the greatest amount of score he's ever got. We come to the next stage, which still isn't the finals, the semi-finals, I think they called it. And to be honest, I lost the will to live. It wasn't just Tom Daly. A number of them were not diving the way they'd died in the prelims. How could Tom Daly have been so good in the prelims and so bad in the semi-finals he didn't even get through to the finals? He may have had a bad night's sleep, I don't know, but I do just wonder whether having done so well in the prelims gave him that bit of extra, oh, I'm okay feeling, and he gets on the end of the board, not having wound himself up as much as he did for the prelims, and didn't dive as well. And, you know, I mean, that's the same in all life. Sadly, I'm unaware that he's a Christian, but it's a lesson for us all, isn't it? That we need to keep focused, and for ourselves, we need to keep focused on God. What about if we didn't use the skills God has given us to our best ability? Actually, we'd be failing him again because he's given us these gifts. He'd given that guy, the rich young fool, the gift of creating money and the gift of having a good harvest. Problem was, he lost his focus on God. So we need to ensure that in all that we do, we're putting God first. Or as we read in Timothy, life does not consist in abundance of possessions. Those possessions could be money, but they could be exam results, sporting medals, something to do with crafts. Whatever your ability, whatever your skills are, you still need to do them for the glory of God. The rich young fool wasn't thinking of others when he was building up his barns. He wasn't thinking of how through this he might help others. But it was pure greed. He says, you, speaking to himself, have plenty of grain for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That is where the rich young fool went wrong. Everything he did was for self, self, and self. In everything we are aiming to achieve our best in, we need to be asking God, where are you in what I am doing? Am I just trying to achieve so I can look how good I am? Or is my choice to achieve for the glory of God? The risk is if we're trying to achieve only for our own reward, we will forget God. We will lose focus on all God has done for us. As Paul warns Timothy, some people eager for money have wandered from the place, from the faith, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Some people eager for great exam results, some people equal for good sports results, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We need to keep our eyes focused on God and not on achievements. To be successful, to have money wisely saved, to get good exam results, results in sports or the arts isn't wrong, providing in our achievement we remember to remain focused on God. In being focused on God, we need to be able to hear what God wants us to do. For some, it might be to put their backs on a successful sports career. But for others, it can be to remain in sports and through this reflect God's love to others. I didn't see much of the athletics this year, but I know 4 years ago that when people were being interviewed, some of them were giving praise to God for their success. For others, it could be to grow a business. By growing a business, giving others the chance of a job. But some people have got that sort of skill, may be called to step out of business and use their skill in Christian charity work. As we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we must never stop looking to Jesus. He is the leader of our faith, and he is the one who makes our faith complete. Let us pray. Father, in all we do, in all the gifts you've given us, in all the abilities we have, help us to put you first, to remember that achievements without you is nothing. Amen.